Some people do not realize they could save hundreds on their car insurance by switching to GEICO. Despite the millions of drivers switching to GEICO, they shell out extra money for car insurance elsewhere. They must enjoy spending more on things they can have for less. A ham sandwich for $5, they say? Nonsense, here's 10. Hats off to you, brave souls. The rest of us just like to save money.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Warning. Please be prepared to leave your comfort zone immediately. The construct and belief system that surrounds you will be deconstructed. We will take you beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to another episode of Ever Beyond. And next week, we will be going beyond the standard Blog Talk Radio half hour. We'll be transmitting through the Sam Muggsy network on freethinkingradio.com. We'll have a player there on the site, so you'll be able to hear the show. You'll be able to hear constant archives played on the show and new information brought in all the time. We'll have blogs and all sorts of nice things. We'll also be bringing in some other of our friends and colleagues, and we shall have a very interesting syndicated show which should go out to satellite broadcasting stations and all sorts of other places as well. So, welcome once again. The countdown begins. So, we are... I was thinking about doing just a little overview of the seven rays, so those of you who are listening to this podcast can get a kind of little refresh. The rays are everything. They're everything that you see, feel, touch, speak, sense, smell, all of those things, because the rays are essentially frequencies. Frequencies, the same as pitch. Pitch, the same of wavelength. So when, say, two people meet and they think they're very close together, they say, we're on the same wavelength. We're tuned into the same frequencies, the same thing as saying that. And when you're the same frequency, you're on the same ray, because a ray is essentially the same kind of idea as the musical notes of a flat or C sharp or F sharp or something like that. They're a position, they're a particular frequency within a group of frequencies. So, for instance, I might have let's just bring the guitar into this. Here's the note of E here. And this is the note of E, well, F, which is the next note up. But between those two notes, there's a whole group of other notes. In fact, there's an almost infinite number of notes in that smooth bend there. But we all know them as the note of E. And it may be E plus 32 or 64 or F, but we know them all as E. So when you're talking about a note, or for that matter a color, we're talking about a band of frequencies which are included in the description. Now, let's move on a little bit. So when you have a frequency that is, for instance, expressed as a color, you may have that color. It may be a particular shade of red, and as the color raises in frequency, it starts to tend towards the orange. And as it goes lower in frequency, it goes deeper and deeper into the red. A bit like the countries that we live in. But anyway, when you have all of these different colors, they all describe various shadings of the original color. But it's still red. It's still the note of E, etc. And so when you have what we call the seven rays, the seven rays correspond essentially to that same kind of idea that we're all unique. We all have our own unique frequency. But we all exist within certain bands of frequency. You could also say that was the same when you're talking about astrological signs, like somebody might be a Pisces who was born at the end of March, whereas they may also be a Piscean if they were born in the end of February. And so we have groupings of things. Now, when you're talking about the seven rays, there are only seven groupings, and we call them by the numbers. First ray, second ray, third ray, fourth ray, etc. You'll often hear in various of these works and channelings and things that you get on the internet, people may refer to the purple ray or the violet ray or the red ray or this ray or that ray. It's not really fair to talk of rays in terms of a specific color. Because as you may be aware, color and pigment are different. So when you say, is it the red ray, are you talking about the color of light or are you talking about the color of pigment? And in fact, if you're aware of these things, pigment is the opposite of color. So tend not to use the color notation, even though a lot of people may find it kind of interesting, it's confusing. It's highly confusing. So I stick with first ray, second ray, third ray, etc. Very basic, very almost bare, but there's no lack of feeling in there. It's still got all of the information. And this is how the Tibetan, the Master Dwalkul, who originally described it for the West in the books dictated to Alice Bailey in the first part of the last century. 23 or so books he dictated, and they've all been condensed down by a man named Michael Robbins, who created the books called The Tapestry of the Gods. These books are available free from my website as PDF downloads. They contain everything you need to know about the rays, but were afraid or even couldn't imagine how to ask. It talks about the six different bodies that we have, the monad, the soul, the personality, the mental body, the astral body, and the physical body. And it breaks down the effects of having which ray in which body, and it's all perfectly tabulated, and it's all derived from the 23 books that Dwalkul has given to humanity. So these books are available on my website, www.sevenrays.info. And even as an added bonus, if you can't find the place to download the Tapestry of the Gods, send an email to tapestry@sevenrays.info, and it will send you these copies back into your email box for free. So I hope you can tune into that. If you can do that and start reading these, then a lot of what I say will make a lot more sense. So, the rays, how do they work? What are they? As we have discovered in science over the last 20, 30 years when we've been dealing with quantum physics, we've found that the further you deep down smash atoms into one thing or another, they tend not to be things anymore, and they tend to be vibrations in something. They originally called it the ether. They then said, oh, no, ether doesn't exist. And then have gone all the way full circle and said, well, Lightwaves does wave in something, and we're going to call it something else, but it's the same concept as the ether. So we use the old-fashioned term, the ether, until we've got a more generally accepted term for the modern way of calling the same thing, the ether. Anyway, within the ether, we have many bandwidths, many different waves of magnetics and electromagnetics and electrics, and have all these waves. And this is what we call the vacuum. There's so much energy in it. But we're currently unaware of how to trick that energy into our dimension. Although people like Nikola Tesla and a fellow called Bedini are figuring these things out. And it's all to do with magnets. And the next generation of power generation won't be using things like fossil fuels or nuclear energy or indeed having to boil water at all. They'll be deriving electrical energy straight from the ether, and we'll be able to put that straight to use. So you just have a wire aerial that is appropriate, and along your car goes along the road. Apparently, Nikola Tesla had a nice station wagon that he used to use, and he had an electric motor in it. No batteries. He just had these wires that ran along the top of the car, and the car would be powered along. Very happy, thank you very much. So, what are the rays? The rays are energy. Why do we call them rays? Well, it's better than calling them notes, because then people would say, well, it's not music because I can't hear it, so why should it be called a note? But it's essentially the same thing. We can't call it a color, because if it's so low frequency, it's a completely invisible color. Or if it's too high frequency, it's too invisible a color, so it's no longer a color. Color is only something that is visible, isn't it? So we just use the word rays, and it accounts for the different forms of energy. And in the same way, if you look at a piano and you look at the note of C in the low octave, let's just grab my guitar, which is not a piano. We play the note of C. And if we were to take the next octave up, so that's going up seven notes, and we go to the next C, we hear that there's a similarity between, and but they're not the same, but they are the same. They have similar characteristics and similar qualities. So something that was based on those notes would have a certain quality. For instance, this is the chord of C sharp minor. And in the musical parlance, this is the most romantic key. And it's the key that, even though my guitar is slightly out of tune, even though the key could essentially be the same as every other, the key of C sharp minor is the key that, for instance, Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata is recorded in, and also things like the Beatles track called Because, which is off Abbey Road. You can see that they're very relaxing, very romantic keys, very heartfelt keys. So every note has its particular effect. In fact, people who compose scores for films know exactly the emotional effect of each different key. So when something dark and heavy goes down, suddenly you get the low D there. That kind of menacing low sound that you hear when you find that the perpetrator has betrayed the hero once again, and nobody knows. So you have various frequencies, various keys, various notes that correspond with particular feelings. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about qualities. And the quality is an energy that evokes a feeling. Let's think of it one way. For instance, like if you were to look at a large wall that is painted with a very bright yellow, for instance. That's a very happy, joyful feeling, or yellow splashed with orange would be incredibly bright and happy and joyful. Whereas something with a kind of sort of somber blue may feel a little less comfortable. It might be a bit more formal for you. Or if it was, say, red and yellow, like McDonald's food, that's kind of kiddie stuff and those kind of feelings. So you can see every color scheme and every musical note scheme has a feeling, a quality associated with it. So let's get to the rays, and let's just run through the different qualities of the rays. Every ray has its name, and that describes its quality, although it may not be obvious at the beginning, but you get used to it, you get the feel of it. So the first ray has the ray of will, of willfulness, of power. So that's like the leader of something, you know, somebody who's like the top of their line in any particular grouping. If they were a painter, they'd be the best painter. If they were a thief, they'd be the best thief, the most notorious. Or if they were in politics, they would be the leader of a party, for instance. So then we go to the second ray, which is the ray of love, wisdom. That's the ray of teaching and nurturing and nourishing. And so you'll find people like teachers and nurses and caterers and people like that using those kind of energies, second ray energy. It's not second rate, it's second ray. And then you have the third ray of active intelligence, and that covers the area of business, of transportation, of abstract thought. And so you'll find many people who you find in the universities, you find people in businesses, obviously, and in trucking and driving trains and flying airplanes and mechanics and all of that sort of stuff. Fourth ray is the ray of harmony through conflict, and you'll find people who are peacemakers and also artists, people who bridge the gaps between two worlds. The fifth ray is the ray of concrete knowledge. You'll find people who are very down to earth in this energy, people maybe who do who know about gardening, who know all the names of the flowers and the Latin names and things like that. People who carry libraries, people who make, fifth ray people do tend to make their own libraries, so they'll have housefuls of books, not many novels, but books like encyclopedia and things like that. The sixth ray is the ray of devotion and loyalty, and you'll find both the monk and the nun and the soldier on this line, on the ray of devotion. They're able to sustain for many, many years the devotion necessary to devote your life to something, and to be completely loyal, like people who completely believe the Pope and things like that. And then you've got the seventh ray, and the seventh ray is the ray of ceremonial order or magic. And that's this is the ray of the new astrological period, which we call an age. And previously it was on the sixth ray during the Piscean age, and now it's moving into the seventh ray in the Aquarian age. And the seventh ray energy is kind of unfolding, really, but what we're seeing are large group activities. Most things to do with groups are to do with seventh ray, and particularly ordering, keeping groups in order, making a certain orderliness about things. So you find seventh ray people are very tidy and very ordered, and you find they'll have a place for everything and everything in its place. They won't have clutter lying around, and their cupboards will also be organized and perhaps even labeled, and perhaps even ordered according to date range and things like that. that's the sort of thing you'll see in a 7-3 person. You might think, oh, that person's incredibly angry retentive, but no, that's the way they are. They just do things that way. They take their own time. They are the masters of their time. And so you'll see a lot of these people are the rebels of the world, because they're rebelling against the oppression of the sixth ray energy that is still trying to play its way out. And that's what's essentially the conflict that we're moving through at the moment. And in the end, we will all end up carrying these seventh ray qualities. And so we're in for a much more magical time, a much more ordered time. There'll be a lot less chaos. And a basically enlightened relationship time for us. What I mean by that is that our relationships will not be based on a role model kind of idea, but that everybody will have their ability to contribute to the group and will be respected for that, no matter what they do, whether they're somebody who is driving the bus to and from the place, or is an administrator, or is the leader. Nobody will have more pay than anybody else. There'll be work on cooperative principles, and essentially all of these principles that we've been trying to thrash out over the last 30, 40, 50 years to try and create a new world. These are all seventh-rate ideas, and they're all based on the idea of right relationship, which is right human relations, being connected with people and recognizing that you're part of a single group that extends all over the planet and perhaps beyond the planet. So, those are the seven rays, with some of their qualities, with some of the idea of how you might apply that. For instance, we have a soul and we have a personality. So, a lot of the readings that I'll give you the soul and the personality, which gives you a kind of overview of how your life will pan out in the mid part of it as your soul pushes its way into your body and into your life. And we'll find that these things that they call the midlife crisis and the Saturn return and all of those stages in our lives will have an energy that is influenced by the movement of the soul into the body. And often, once that whole process has happened and you've moved into the soul, it doesn't stop there. It's the beginning. And this is the beginning of what we call the ascension process, which is really maintaining a constant connection with the soul, or the higher self, depending on how you want to put it. The higher self is not a single thing, in the same way that the physical being is not a single thing. We comprise our physical body, our emotional body, our mental body, and we also have the spirit body, which is the personality, the soul, and the monad. The monad is a word that you don't hear very much, apart from people who know me, and it represents the great spirit that in a way is the true you. It's the you behind the you behind the you. The eyes are the window to the soul, so it's the person looking through the window. And so I think I'll leave it there for this week. But just as a taster for your next series of shows, I'll be doing some interviews. I've got a few people lined up, some very interesting people. We'll be doing ray readings, and I'll be bringing guests on who may also do readings in parallel, and we'll have some great fun doing that. I've certainly had fun like that in the past. And so, for this particular Blog Talk channel, I'd like to say thank you very much, and I'll keep it up to date. But essentially, this will be my archive from here on in, and we'll see how we go from there. So, with that in mind, I'd like to say thank you very much and good night.